from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, happy Monday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G.
you scared me.
Yeah, well, I think a few people are dealing with the Mondays, but we've got it good. Our board office shaking his head, yes.
And G, it's January officially. I have decreed this, judging from the weather. So we're all having a case of the Mondays.
Hey, you know what, though? We're not going to, because this was the most glorious weekend.
That's what I'm saying.
It was beautiful.
It was summer.
Wait a minute. I have never done this before, but I'm probably scared to do it. I almost want to start this show over because I had to tell you that this Monday morning has been the best Monday morning feeling that I've had in almost a year.
Me too.
No. I mean, it feels good. You know what it feels like to me? I'm sorry. Oh, by the way, I apologize. I accidentally had 4 cups of coffee, so I apologize in advance. But this, you know what it reminds me of? It feels like that Monday after the last day of school.
I knew you were going to say that.
Whoa, nothing to do. Your buddies are ready to go play. I got Ursula and Heather Boss ready to kick it, have some fun. And then No. We are going to have a phenomenal show today and all week long.
I love it.
All right, let's get to it. I apologize. Again, I apologize in advance, y'all. The coffee was tasting so good for your boy. Now it's time for Ursula's Top 5 News Stories of the Day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
And starting tomorrow, all counties are eligible to go into phase 3 of reopening, which means, of course, 50% indoor capacity for restaurants and retail. The governor has announced June 30th as the full reopening date, but it could come sooner if the vaccination rate gets to 70%. Over the weekend, my husband and I went to the Washington coast, and I had a chance to interview a couple of people while I was visiting. Randy Dixon and his wife own Granny Hazel's Candy and Gift Shop in the town of Westport, and they had to shut down for nearly 3 months during the pandemic.
It was like a ghost town. There wasn't a car on the street. You know, our car was the only one in the marina. It was just, you know, if you drove in, you'd have thought that the town had closed and everybody went home.
The candy shop, as you know, is supposed to be a happy place, but he says, like many businesses, the pandemic did take a toll.
We're used to seeing happy kids coming to the store having fun, and just see them on the outside, it was like we were separated by this wall of glass where you couldn't talk to them, you couldn't see them. And then all of a sudden, you know, we're like, okay, we can reopen. So we just brought in all the stuff to make it safe, reopened, but it was something I hope I never have to live through again.
So business has picked up since Memorial Day, but over the weekend, he says it almost felt like pre-pandemic times. The store was full. I will point out they did something really cool, and I want to get your take on this. On the door, there was a big sign that said, everyone in our store who works here is fully vaccinated.
That's a HIPAA violation.
No, it's not.
Okay, hear your boy out.
That's not a HIPAA violation. Okay. Let's get this clear.
Okay. How about this? I'm not saying it's a HIPAA violation. Okay, I take that back. But I will say, are you allowed to just say who is and who isn't vaccinated?
Well, when you are the owner and the only other person who works there is your wife, who's the co-owner.
I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't know that. Okay. First of all, great news. Great news in all of this is it was good to see me living vicariously through you as you were on your trip. Shout out to Long Live Mark. He looks long. You could already tell sometimes when Mark's like, all right, Ursula, let's just get this picture out of the way. Mark's like, man, I just want to enjoy my vacation. But you guys look like you were having so much fun. It looked fantastic out there. And I think this is good news for all of us going forward, because we are going forward, Ursula, into our new normal, right? We talked about this for some time. We talked about what it was going to be like with our new normal, and that's where we're heading to.
Well, there were a couple of things that was a new normal. When you say that, I think that the sign on a business, that's not normal. There were still people wearing masks. I interviewed, so there was also a car show, one of these old car shows, and it was really fun. And I realized that I made some assumptions about people. I thought people, because I'm thinking, I'm in a small town. I'm wondering if the, you know, there are going to be people who laugh when I wear a mask, even though it, because it was kind of crowded. And yes, I am vaccinated, but I also figured that there were people who don't know for sure, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The people I was talking to, so I interviewed them too, and we're close, and they were telling me, I hope that people get vaccinated because, you know, I want us to have more things like this, et cetera, et cetera. The people that I assume maybe have issues with it, let's just put it this way. I need to stop making assumptions. Okay, so that's one thing. The other thing I was considering, and you were laughing hysterically at me during the morning meeting.
I can't believe you. I cannot believe you're going to really tell these people. I can't believe. I'm preparing you. Go ahead, Ursula. Tell them.
I was wondering. I told my husband. I said, you know, we don't have the vaccination card that we have. I was thinking I would get it laminated. And you know how we have the lanyard with our ID and the thing that helps us get into the building? I was thinking I would just add it to that on a lanyard. And have my vaccination card there. So, and hear me out on this one. The reason I think that, that's not to be bragging or anything like that or to be obnoxious, but I love to hug. I've had more hugs in the past week than I have all year long. And instead of having to, you know, yell out, yeah, I'm vaccinated, you know, I would just have it hanging on my neck.
Ursula, trust your boy. I know you're vaccinated. The people know you're vaccinated.
No, they don't. Why would they know?
Well, Ursula, don't do it. And you know what it reminds me of? It would be like you walking around with a lanyard with something that says that both of my boys are honor roll students. Just don't do it. All right. I know you've got the vaccine. We know you've got the vaccine. And in full transparency, you and I, even though I came in on my day off on Friday and I had to get something in there, you and I had our first hug,
yes,
right, in over a year and a half. So that felt fantastic. But trust your boy on this, Ursula. Don't do that with the vaccine card, please.
Okay. Okay. If anyone was thinking the same thing, let me know.
Wait,
I want to just end with this.
No, I want to say, but don't end, because I got something to say about the weekend.
Well, I was going to say something about the weekend. Yesterday was one of the happiest days in the past year for me.
Really? Why?
It really was one of the happiest days. The sunshine, the perfect weather, hugging more people, seeing more people out, seeing more people happy, people talking about positive things in the future. It really just felt like I realized that I've been living in a kind of a cloudy state of mind. And yesterday literally and figuratively felt like one of the sunniest days for me in the past year.
Oh, that's good. I just wanted to just say one thing, capped off by, I was at the Puyallup Costco gas station, and this lady and I, we just had a great conversation. I don't know who you are, but the conversation was great. And here's some things that I noticed, and then we can move on, Ursula. I noticed that people are really were really happy this weekend, just like you're talking about. That's number one. I noticed that places were really busy. That's great. I also noticed that everything is expensive now. Everything, you're like, man, I paid a lot for that, Prices are going crazy right now. Also, I saw more people outside of Lillian with lipstick on this weekend. I'm like, man, I forgot people wore lipstick because of people not wearing masks. And then, of course, last but not least, is you kind of forget about the things that you missed out on, and seeing what you were doing this weekend, that was reassuring to see.
A Nigerian man suspected in our state's $650 million unemployment fraud is now behind bars. The Seattle Times reports he was arrested on Friday at New York's JFK Airport as he was trying to leave the country. He's accused of using the identities of more than 100 Washington residents to steal more than $350,000 in unemployment benefits from the Washington State Employment Security Department. The U.S. Attorney's Office says this is the first, but will not be the last, significant arrest in their ongoing investigation of ESD fraud.
You know what we haven't seen? This isn't the first, and I'm glad, and hopefully it won't be the last. But you know what's interesting? Has anybody been held accountable for this happening here to ESD?
Not yet. I guess this first arrest is the first chance at that.
No, I'm talking about those working.
Yeah, I know.
There, you know what I mean? Those in charge of ESD. It's like, okay, we're going to start getting the arrest now. But hold up. Who was in charge when this happened and while it happened? Oh, that's right. They got promoted and left out to the Biden administration.
Okay. Yeah. And what the other thing that I haven't heard yet is what is being done at ESD and any other state or local agency to make sure that this doesn't happen again. But I am happy to hear of the arrest. Shocking new allegations this morning against Bill Gates, who, of course, is in the middle of a divorce from his wife, Melinda, after 27 years. Reports from the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal say Bill Gates treated the workplace like a pickup spot and would make unwanted advances toward female employees. Several employees told the Times that he could be dismissive of his wife and overly dominant during Gates Foundation meetings, even though the organization was working on several women's empowerment initiatives. And the Journal reports that Microsoft's board hired a law firm to investigate Bill Gates back in 2019 over claims that he began an affair with a company employee in 2000, just 6 years after his wedding. And then there are the reports of his ongoing relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, which is probably the most disturbing, at least to me.
There's a lot of news in this. And Ursula, as I was preparing for the show and I was writing all of my notes, everything that you just talked about, and I was trying to gather, like, whew, this is a lot to talk about with one topic. Then a buddy of mine called me up and said, and I said, hey, man, I got to go. I'm preparing for my show. He says, no, real quick, Bruh, you heard about this Bill Gates stuff? I said, yeah, what about it? Man, I can't believe, like, I would have never thought that he would do something like that. And so I immediately put my stuff down and I said, well, why would you say you would have never thought? He's like, well, you know, he's got a lot of money. You know, he seems so. And I guess, Ursula, my angle is this. I always talk about this all the time, is that people with a lot of money, I think that society believes that they aren't human just like us. They're going to make mistakes or make problems in any way, the same way that we do. As a matter of fact, sometimes those with a whole lot of money can get into a whole lot of trouble really fast.
Does the money make them that way, or do they have these flaws already and then that they just come out because they have money?
Glad you brought that up, Ursula. Here's my opinion on that, and here's what I've seen over the years. Whatever issues that you have had prior to money, it just gets magnified when you have the money. It reminds me of when folks back in the day, maybe at some point when you were eating or your financial status was where you had to have beans and rice and you had to have Kraft box macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. And maybe you weren't financially stable enough to get better foods. And then your money financial situation, Ursula, starts to change. And then all of a sudden you start eating all of these different fine foods, the exquisite. And then your alcohol choice changes. And now you go from Coors Light to whiskey and things change. Well, that's what happens a lot of times that I've seen with people with money. Is like, yo, you had little problems. Now you have big problems. And I want to hone it back to with Bill Gates and what's happening right now. Let me tell you something, Ursula. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. Don't nothing surprise me. Just because somebody has a bunch of money does not mean that they can't have a bunch of problems just like everybody else. The difference is most of the time, money keeps us from finding out about it. That's the only difference.
I'm shocked, actually. Just
are you?
Hearing about this, because
why?
He gives off this persona of being this philanthropist. He's kind of a nerdy guy, very family oriented. He pledged to give away half of his wealth through the Giving Pledge. You know, he's got all these, you know, ways that he's saving the world, and he's done great things with that money, which is why this is for me even more disappointing, if in fact this is true, because now you're looking at it and going, whoa, this guy's a creep.
Well, both
if
can
this
be-
is true, and yes, both can be true.
Yeah,
both can be true. But I was hoping that it wasn't in this case. And now the more, and, you know, and again, he's vehemently denying all these things. And of course, this is information that is coming out during a divorce. But it turns out now, you know, the Wall Street investigation, all those things with the board, that was prior to the divorce. And supposedly, Melinda Gates started talking to attorneys because she was extremely disturbed by his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, who is a convicted sex offender and just a horrible person. And supposedly, he was going to her and getting advice about how to leave his toxic marriage. And just this new information coming out is absolutely changing my view of Bill Gates, sadly.
You know, with
okay, sorry, we got two more to get to. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah. Go.
So the Proud Boys leader Ethan Nordine is now putting former President Trump on blast, accusing him of misleading his supporters and then deserting them despite their unwavering loyalty. And now this is a quote from Nordine. He says, "We are now and always have been on our own. So glad he was able to pardon a bunch of degenerates as his last move and then on us on the way out." He accused the former president of leaving them on the battlefield bloody and alone. And, of course, he is one of several members of the extremist group that has ties to white supremacy. And he's one of more than 400 people who've now been charged for their roles in that deadly assault on the Capitol.
Ursula, what do I always say about the truth?
It never expires.
Since we've started the Gene Ursula Show, I have tried my best. You have tried your best. We tried to be the real who we are. Good, bad, or indifferent. Sure. There are times that you guys text in and you disagree with me and it's kind of funny. Ha ha ha. And we come back and we continue to talk about topics. That's fine. However, human decency is something that is very important to both Ursula and I. And I say that because we talked about before, Ursula, the gang mentality. And I said before, this and a lot of this is a gang mentality where there is a lot of money behind hateful agendas, hateful rhetoric. Yes, agree. There is money behind some of this hate. Now, in the case of this man, Ursula, I don't feel sorry for him one bit. This man chose to do what he did because of himself. This ain't about Trump. This ain't about Trump is Trump. Don't sit here and start blaming it on Trump. No, you did this because you wanted to do it. The same way I would have no empathy or no grace towards someone who commits a crime because their gang leader told him to do so. In this case, this man needs to man up, serve your punishment, and this has nothing to do with Trump. This has everything to do with you and your decision to do what you did.
I love how he says, "I followed this guy for 4 years and have given everything and lost it all. Yes, he woke us up, but he led us to believe some great justice was upon us, and it never happened. Now I've got some of my good friends and myself facing jail time because we followed this guy's lead and never questioned it." No, you're facing jail time because you decided that it would be a good idea to go there that day, push through police barricades, bringing your bats, bringing your weapons, and yeah, you made a big fat mistake, and you're going to pay for it.
Yep.
Okay, still ahead, we've heard of the toll the pandemic has taken on mental health. Now there's a new number that you need to know that could be life-saving. You are listening to The Gian Ursula Show. Welcome back to the Gian Ursula Show. Hospitals across the country and here in our state have seen an increase in kids and adults coming in because of a mental health crisis. It is a pandemic within the pandemic. And now there is a new number to call if you are in crisis. And Cairo Radio's Hannah Scott joins us with details. Hi, Hannah.
Good morning, Ursula. Yes, there will be this 988 number that eventually would mirror basically what the 911 number does. We have heard for so long now that, you know, cops aren't meant to respond to those in mental health crisis on a variety of fronts. And so this is an effort to do that. It's known as the National Suicide Hotline Designation Act, and it replaces the existing suicide number with the 988 system. But it goes beyond that. It's not just for those who are contemplating suicide, any kind of behavioral health issue, whether you're dealing with a drug crisis or some other kind of mental health issue, you can get this help. And right now, that has not been happening the way it should be. So Democratic Representative Tina Orwell sponsored this bill.
I have to tell you, I've worked on many suicide prevention bills. This one this one can have the greatest impact.
And she says Washington State has some very high suicide numbers.
Sadly, our state has a higher rate of suicide than the national average. We've seen a 36% increase in the number of suicides over the last decade. We've lost 5,000 people in the last 5 years. We lose 2 to 4 young adults every week in our state to suicide. We know suicides are higher for veterans, for American Indians and Alaska Natives, for LGBTQ youth, and for people living in rural areas.
Now, Orwell explained what her bill would do.
Expanding and enhancing our crisis system, and we're going to start with our call centers. We need to have it so all of the calls are answered in our state, and they're answered by very experienced clinicians that can do suicide assessments, that can connect and triage people to the right crisis service, and who can really make sure that follow-up happens. We anticipate that the call center will be able to resolve a lot of the conflicts, but they also will have the ability to do a rapid response. And that may take a little bit of time to get that up and running, but that would be similar to a 911 response in that that would be within 20 or 30 minutes.
Now, Abraham Derry explained what happened when his wife was suicidal.
I turned to the one place I knew, which was 911. The police came. They saw that she did have the means. Holly, at this point, was 106 pounds and 5'10". They approached her at the door. They ripped her out of her home. They put her on the ground. They strapped her to a stretcher. They took her to the hospital, where she sat in a room alone. And ultimately, that evening, after telling the police that she was going to kill herself upon release, after telling the hospital that she had the plan, the means, and would complete it, she was still discharged.
She was discharged, and she took her own life within 24 hours. He said he has no ill will towards the police for that, though. He said they weren't equipped to deal with mental illness.
The officers, just as if you gave me a badge and a gun, I wouldn't know what to do with them. So I can't blame the officers who responded. I appreciate them very much. But for that to be Holly's last day, to not have the peer support, somebody who's trained, who can help me, help the family, help Holly to get care, this bill would be a game changer. And I think it would have reshaped Holly's story.
And this is underway. As I said, the governor signed this last week. There's a couple of different committees that have to be formed, and then they will report back starting in this upcoming January 1st to the legislature. So it'll take a few years to get this all the way up and running to what the vision is. But once it is, I think that you would very likely see a very different situation than we currently see in our state.
So 988 is not available yet.
Now. No,
okay,
not yet.
So we're still looking at down the road.
Down the road, yes.
And this is a tough topic. Mm-hmm. And I say it's a tough topic because it's something that has affected me personally. My oldest brother died by suicide. And whenever I hear a suicide story, I know that it's much more complex than everything that we talk about. It's not as simple as, you know, if only it wasn't a cop. And I know that this gentleman wasn't blaming police. Mm-mm. If only it wasn't this. If only the reality is that we are in such dire need of mental health services,
yes.
Period. If you are not fortunate enough to have tons of money to get mental health help, you really have a harder time. It is much more difficult because so much of the treatment requires money, and so much of the you can go to the hospital and then they turn you back. They can't. If you've ever been to an ER, I mean, they're trying mm-hmm. to find ways to get you out of there because they're so packed. They're not equipped for that.
No.
So I'm trying to understand how this bill would actually help. I love the fact that there's any attention toward suicide prevention because it is preventable.
It's a very big bill. So it's I'll try to kind of fit it out for you a little bit. Basically, what this does is you're going to have the call center is going to be the first thing that they create where you can call that 988 number. Now you're going to have possibly some of the people who are already trained 911 operators and a whole lot of new ones that they're going to be training. And it's a triage center, right? So the call comes in, and that's going to be one of the most important parts, I think, is that you'll see again, this isn't necessarily just for someone who is suicidal. You've got people who are in drug crisis or some other mental health crisis, whatever it is. Somebody calls. It doesn't have to be that person. It can be anyone who they cares about them is calling, or just a passerby, and says, look, this person needs this. And that call center staff will decide the best person to deploy. Is it a mental health team with a social worker, or is it a cop? And so that's how that starts. And then they will take that person once they go out, assess them there. If they need drug treatment, they'll take them, physically take them. There's like a warm handoff for that, or whatever else it might be, whatever other mental health care. And they have expanded the ability to get drug treatment and other mental health care in this state. The last two sessions, at least I know of, made Medicaid more available, so you can get people on Apple Health and things like that to get them the help that they need, so you don't have to have that money like you're talking about, Ursula. And then after, there's also the vision is to have the follow-up after the person does whatever they do, whether that's an appointment and an outpatient kind of thing, or they go in, then they have another team besides the call center people who will follow up and see what path that person goes down, what other help they might need.
That's good. Well, I mean, like I said, any help that is made available is great. And I just want to say for people who are struggling, who are listening right now.
Thank you.
There is a... obviously, the National Suicide Hotline number, which I don't have memorized, but Chris, can you find it for me real quick?
It's 1-800-273-8255.
Okay, and they are trained. Can you repeat that one more time?
You bet. 1-800-273-8255.
And I just want to remind you, because we are still in this pandemic and we are coming out of it, but this has taken a toll on a whole bunch of people. And I just ask and I pray, if you are in that position where you're feeling desperate, know that there is help. Know that there are people who want to help you. Know that what you're feeling right now is temporary, although I know that also depression and anxiety can be debilitating, but you can get help. And I just can't emphasize that enough. But thank you, Hannah. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Good stuff, Ursula. Coming up next, and we need to talk. Where do you stand when it comes to the death penalty? Well, a South Carolina governor just signed a bill, and we'll see what you think about this. Coming up next is Gene Ursula. It is the Gene Ursula Show. Happy Monday to all of you. Coming up at 10:06, Ursula and I will have the three things that you need to know. But right now, Ursula, we need to talk. First, the question is this. You don't have to answer. It's
okay.
Kind of a question. Where are you when it comes to the death penalty? I have realized that this topic is a very complex topic, and one in which I've had a few debates on them, and most people are shocked when they find out where I am when it comes to the death penalty.
Okay, so
I'm for it.
See,
okay,
and I am not. And okay. But that I've come to that. I used to be for it.
Yeah.
But then I realize now how long it takes, and how expensive it is to go through that whole process. It really doesn't always bring that peace that the family wants, but yet you're just spending, you know, so much money, and there's so many appeals, and then the whole Gary Ridgway thing, him not getting the death penalty, it's just, you know, throwing it off. So for me, it's just, it doesn't make sense anymore. I'd rather they spend the rest of their life in prison.
No doubt. Again, hence the reason why that this death penalty conversation is a very, very complex topic, and one that makes for a good discussion and debate sitting around having coffee or something. But I want to bring to the attention of what happened in South Carolina. South Carolina's governor, Henry McMaster, he signed a bill to require death row inmates to choose between firing squad or the electric chair. as a lack of drugs for lethal injections has kind of stalled executions. Here's what's happening right now. Over the last 10 years, since South Carolina's last person to be executed on death row, lawmakers have said that because pharmaceutical companies have refused to sell states the drugs to carry out lethal injections, it has kind of stalled this. This happening. So what's happening is the lethal injection is still the primary method for executions under the law, but the state now will mandate that prison officials can use an electric chair or firing squad if they don't have the drugs. Now,
can we just stop for just for a second and just how weird is that?
That's why I'm bringing this to you guys' attention. And that's why when I saw it, I said, whoa. Hold on. I'm glad you asked me. You know, I am for the death penalty. No doubt about it. And we can get into that on a later date. But yo, what year is it? Hold up. Wait, what do you mean? Like, hey, inmates now have a choice. You could either die by electrocution chair or firing squad. Like, I feel like this is 1821, not 2021. I could not believe what I was reading on that, Ursula.
Or a different country.
I guess a different country. And so I was shocked that they would do this. Now, look, I get it and understand why there has been a stall. I get it and understand that pharmaceutical companies are not selling this drug to states. No doubt about that. I understand that. But then in place of that, you're going to say, all right, I'm going to sign into law right now that I'm going to give these inmates on death row. You now have a choice. You can choose the electric chair or you can choose the firing squad. And I just could not believe, Ursula, what I was reading when I was reading it. I had to almost do a double take, if you will.
Yeah. And why wouldn't they consider, how about we put until we can have the lethal drug option available, if you're really going to insist on continuing with the death penalty, why don't you wait until that is an option again? Because I could see that people on death row would then be arguing, wow, this is cruel and unusual punishment because mm-hmm. now you've taken one of the options off and now we're going to go back to these much more barbaric methods of execution.
So again,
okay, I don't know. I'm not sure that I'm ready to deal with all this on a Monday morning when I said yesterday was the happiest day of my life for the past year.
I think it was last topic that we just deal with at 9:30, and then it was this one. So I'll say my bad for bringing it too heavy at 9:47 for We Need to Talk. All right. Let's try this again at 10:06, and we got to give everyone the three things that you need to know. One of those things is this. There is a particular story that is told that you've heard, I've heard, and we all have heard. However, for every 10 times this story is told, I believe 9 times out of 10, it's a lie. I'll explain what that is next. It's Gene Ursula.